Joining me in the studio is Jake Shepherd. He is a director at Synthesis. And we're going to be talking about some questions over the next few weeks. Jake, we're going to ask ourselves different questions. Why all the questions?
Hi, Howard. Thank you very much for having me on again. I thought that it would be actually quite engaging to talk about transformative questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they are questions that we often ignore, and I don't think we ignore them because they're unimportant. I think we ignore them because they are difficult to answer, they're nuanced, and there's no ready answer available to us. But I think if we engage in those sorts of questions, what can happen is we can see ourselves and others and interact with ourselves and others in a different way. So I thought it would be a really good idea to try and look at some of these questions.
Right, to take a couple of questions over the next short while,
sure,
and over the next few weeks and say, well, ask this question and say, how do we look at that in a different way? And this morning's question seems maybe deceptively simple.
Yeah.
When do we speak and when do we remain silent?
Yeah.
Or when do we remain silent and when do we speak up?
Mm-hmm. And I think the first thing you need to do when you...
Zanatti, listen now.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
I'm just listening.
Jeez. Just as a talk radio host, this is quite an important one for us.
So obviously the first thing you have to do when you encounter a transformative question is to actually understand the question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deceptive sometimes. And I think today's question of when to stay silent and when to speak up is a great example of a question that is actually two totally different questions wrapped up in one. And really the understanding of the question unravels and is unhinged based on our understanding of the word silence. So the first understanding for silence is that we have an opportunity to create stillness so that we can be present in the world around us. And when you do that, then you can actually hear people around you and you can actually engage with the world.
Right.
And one of the ways of doing that is when listening, don't produce counter arguments for what you're going to say. Actually be present, listen to what the other person's saying, not because you want to agree with them, but because you want to honor their point of view.
And that's sometimes very difficult because we use our words as a shield to some extent. So because we don't want to, I don't sure. like the argument that you are putting forward, I use my words to block the sound of what should be coming my way.
Exactly. And I think what we need to do is assume that the person we're listening to actually knows something that we don't. And we can discover something really interesting by just taking in their point of view and understanding where they're coming from.
So being silent really requires an immense amount of self-control, presence,
sure.
actually, and confidence.
Yeah.
Because it means that I need to have enough confidence to be able to hear and take in your point of view without feeling totally unnerved by it.
Sure. And I think that's really the core of self-awareness as well. So when you're listening and you're opening yourself up and you're creating a bit of silence, i.e. you're not spending all the time speaking to somebody else, you can spend some time speaking to yourself and you can create some self-awareness. And I think, for example, self-awareness from a point of view of emotional self-awareness, you're then aware of when you're feeling frustrated and angry and you're going to lash out. And because of that, you can act on your emotions before you act them out. And I think that's like a really important aspect of this. And I think I heard I heard a very humorous definition of a discussion. And it's two sequential unrelated monologues.
Absolutely.
And it's where people
welcome to Twitter.
Exactly. Twitter's a good example.
Perfect example of it. Yeah.
So I think really, so if you picture in your mind the quintessential wise elder and you see that elder in front of you, you can almost imagine that elder listening, being present, hearing the opinions of everybody else, and only speaking up when they've got something obviously of value to contribute.
So I hear that. And in theory, there is absolutely no doubting it. The problem is when we often get into an emotional conversation, and you call it, I've heard you use the word crucial conversations, sometimes our emotions are very, very hard to control, and we don't act or we find it difficult to act like that wise person where we hear, reflect, listen, and take something
and,
in.
And that takes a lot of practice and skills to actually deal with that. And it's something that we actually covered in Crucial Conversations. And I think just to answer that, in terms of our first understanding of the question of when to stay silent, when to speak up, in the light of the definition of silence being creating stillness so that we can be present in the world around us, I think the answer there is first seek to understand by listening to other people before you try to make yourself understood.
Say that again, because I love it.
First seek to understand by opening yourself up and being present to others before speaking up, making yourself understood.
Zanati?
Yours sounds like so much work.
Zanati's exhausted just by listening to that. But it means, because it resonates, because it's true.
It
is true.
Learning to sit with what the other person has said and how it makes you feel. Just sitting.
Right.
Before responding.
It's very hard.
I know, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
But there's a second understanding to the question,
mm-hmm.
Based on a second understanding of what silence is. And there, we see defined silence as the absence of speech.
Right.
And effectively in a situation where you have a difference of opinion or somebody's let you down and you're disappointed by somebody, often then being silent actually causes more damage than speaking up.
Okay, so silence can be very, very damaging, and a lot of our listeners have over a time spoken about that to me, saying, you know, they're perhaps in a relationship, their spouse or their partner doesn't speak and communicate. So silence is actually used as a weapon more than it is to take something on. It's almost a block around communication. It can be used around
and
a block
I think
in communication.
If you
well.
Try and look at the health of any individual or relationship organization, that health can be measured by the average time lag between identifying a problem and speaking about that problem. And when that time lag gets too long, you actually damage the relationship.
Right. Right.
And I think where that starts off is really if you think back to our days in nursery school and primary school, we often learnt a lesson that you can either speak up or have a friend. You can't have both. So you
can explain that.
Picture yourself in a nursery school playground,
right,
sharing sandwiches with your friend.
Right.
And that was often done, and your friend's sandwich really doesn't taste that good.
Right.
But, you don't want to hurt their feelings, so you say, oh, it's a fantastic sandwich. But the next day when you arrive in the schoolyard, you're going to find another friend to share their sandwiches with. So essentially over time, that not discussing the issues basically lands up with a broken relationship where that actually might not have been the inevitable outcome of what could have happened, you know, by just speaking up and saying, listen, this is a terrible sandwich.
All right. So we need to decide then when to remain silent and when to speak. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519. That's the SMS line, or 061-895-1019. I am chatting to Jake Shep. Jake, I mean, obviously it's very, very hard to go anywhere following that level of genius.
I do think it's quite practical.
Yes. No, practical it is, and nothing wrong with a bit of practical. Right. So, we were saying our question this morning is when to remain silent and when to speak up.
And I was exploring the second type of silence, which is the absence of speech. And when you're trying to work out whether you're going to speak up or remain silent, you have to consider the consequences of speaking up and understand where that could lead you. And one of the reasons people stay in silence and they don't actually speak up is because of fear of what will happen when they do speak up. So you can imagine that the situation might be terrible. They might be suffering quite a lot, but at least it's the known situation. I know where I'm at. And there's this fear of if I speak up, I can make stuff infinitely worse.
Is there a fear about not being able to control yourself as well? If I start speaking, I don't know that I'll be able
certainly.
To stop.
And I think that's one of the things that prevents people from speaking up is not having the confidence or the knowledge of knowing how they can speak up in a way that is safe and in a way that achieves a positive end goal. Right. You know, we always say that when you're faced with a crucial conversations, you can conversation, you can do one of three things. You can either run away.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak up and do it badly.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could speak up and do it well. I think people are really petrified that by speaking up, they're going to do it badly. And the only way you can really address that is by learning skills that are necessary for how to actually make it safe enough to have those difficult discussions.
As a director of a company and a founder of a company, how does this play out in a work environment?
Plays up often. Plays up in our interactions with clients.
Mm-hmm.
If a client does something that we feel is actually ultimately going to harm the relationship mm-hmm. between ourselves and the client, do you speak up or do you just, the client is king and we don't say anything? We just keep quiet and do whatever they
say.
And
as South Africans, we don't like confrontation very much. We're not really good at it. We want to go straight to the Rainbow Nation. We want to go straight to reconciliation. We sometimes don't want to deal with those difficult conversations.
And I don't think it's unique to South Africans. I think you're right. I think we might have a propensity to want to actually make things, everything smooth, everything over. But I think it's a worldwide problem. It's part of the nature of relationships is that they are difficult.
Right.
And I think by just embracing that, acknowledging that, and saying, well, there is a way to actually speak up, preserve the relationship. Actually, it's an opportunity to enhance the relationship, to actually make things better. And really grab that opportunity so that you can build up on those relationships.
Going back to what you started off saying, that you've got a greater chance when you do speak up of it becoming a successful or a positive, having a positive outcome, is if you've actually listened and heard what the issue is, because you might think it's one thing and in fact it's completely the other. And it might just be that other person needed to be heard.
Sure. I mean, that's very much, I suppose, part of this whole concept of speaking up in the second way of understanding the question is that first way of being silent to actually understand where everyone else is coming from so that you can actually use that interaction as a way of actually bolstering that relationship.
Mm. But to some extent, not speaking up and what we always use the word sulking is actually a very powerful and very negatively manipulative style, isn't it?
Sure, but I think I don't think people consciously do it as a. I mean, maybe they do it as a tactic.
Oh, Zanatti, you definitely do.
But I don't think it's a particularly effective
one. Zanatti does.
Okay.
Has it worked?
No.
Oh. I was just wondering.
But I think when people choose to go to silence, what they need to realize is that there's actually a consequence for not speaking up. And that consequence is bottling up your emotions.
Right.
And if I look at my own life, I'm the proverbial, you know, in the past, I was the proverbial Scorpio. So I regularly chose silence over speaking
out. And then lashed.
And bottling up the emotions.
Right.
And then one tiny little thing happens and I, you know, explode.
Right.
And
right.
I think the only
so
way
how
I,
did you change it?
So the way I changed it is to learn to recognize my feelings and then to say, wait, this is bothering me. Maybe I should start speaking up about it. And I think I was actually, in terms of the second understanding of silence, I was given a brilliant answer to this question of when to be silent and when to speak up by Kim Furman, a colleague of mine at Synthesis. Mm-hmm. And she said, like a magic formula, disclose it or close it.
Mm. Like that. Very, very nice. Disclose it or close it.
Disclose it or close it. Because if you can't close it, i.e. emotionally something's nagging at you, you're feeling upset, you're feeling disappointed, and you can't let it go. You can't close it.
Mm.
Or your conscience is prickling you. So you're a nurse in an ER facility and other nurses aren't washing their hands or the doctors aren't washing their hands and your conscience says, I have to speak up because people's lives are at stake. I think that's another case where you can't close it, so you have to disclose it. Because if you don't talk it out, you will act it out.
All right. So
what was that again? I just want to write that on my status on WhatsApp. Was it disclose it or close it?
Yes, disclose it. And you're sending it to your ex-flatmate, aren't you? ex-boyfriend,
all
the whole thing.
Ex-boss.
Yeah. I think you've created a monster. I think you might have created a monster. Maybe we could, maybe you should be adopting the silence part until we figure out how you should be having these conversations, Anati.
Just close it or close it. Okay.
And then it's actually what we were discussing a little bit earlier, where if you do decide to disclose it, then recognize the fact that you need certain skills to be able to do it in a way that actually is going to enhance the relationship. But these skills are learnable, and we touched on them in terms of crucial conversations.
Jake Shepherd been chatting to me about when to speak and when to remain silent. We're going to take a number of questions over the next few weeks and talk about, what did you call them? Transformative questions. Very, very powerful, very interesting. Thank you. As always, Jake Shepherd is a director and a founder at Synthesis. Let's take a look at what's happening on our highways and byways.